Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one Trinity. Amen. So good. Turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. 48 years ago, as I've told you many times, on Sunday afternoon, in June of 1970, a man came to my door, a preacher and a deacon from the Tabernacle Baptist Church. They came in, and I knew something was going to happen because I thought something is different about this man. His name was Brother Mayfield. He was 84 years old. He sat down and began to talk to me, and one of the things that he used, I mean, that's a long time ago to remember this, but he used the story of the prodigal son to tell me about the Lord. And he told me one of the things was about the robe, a robe of righteousness that you get from Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that he told me. Since then, I've preached from this text many times. I've heard it preached from many times. But who among us has not been a prodigal? We have all been a prodigal at some time or another. In this story, in Luke chapter number 15, not this story, but in this chapter, there are three stories here. You could make actually four if you wanted to take the older brother, if you wanted to make him a separate story. But in chapter 15 and verse number 1, I want to read these verses for you. Shall point out to you the three stories. You might want to use them sometime for a Sunday school class. It says in Luke 15 and verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. He talked with them. And he treated people the way Jesus would speak to people. If they were religious Pharisees and like hypocrites, I mean, that's what he told them. And he was pretty rough on them. When he was teaching his disciples, then he would be in a teaching manner, mode. He would teach them things. But when he's talking to regular people, sinners, all of them, I mean, man, he's kind to them. He's kind to them, and he talks to them. And he's a friend to them. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. He wants people to be saved. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came. You might think that you sought out Jesus, but you didn't. He sought out you. He made the first move. The first move was God sending His Son from heaven. That's the first move. Not only that, but He sent His Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God convicted you. As I told you Wednesday night, the Spirit of God convicted me and all kinds of things for 10 or 12 or 15 years. He did that. And He probably did it for you, even if you may not even know it, you see. But He came to you and He convicted you and He wooed you. That song, Riley, that I was telling you about, Down From His Glory, it's got that in there. He wooed us. He wooed us and he drew us to Himself, you see. Now, you have to make the choice, but He's working. He's working on it. Verse number 1, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. For to hear Him. You may not know it. You may not know it. You know, if you never have stood up before a group of people, whether it be children, boys and girls, adults, old people in a rest home, you may not know it. But most of the time, now sometimes this is not true, I mean, or even in a school. But many times it is such a blessing, a privilege to speak to somebody. And a lot of times you can tell whenever God is doing something, especially, I mean, you know, if you have a Bible in your hand, you can tell if God's doing something, if you're in a Sunday school class or up here. And what a privilege it is to stand there and talk to people. You see, the Spirit of God goes with His Word. He goes with it. If that may not be the best way to say that, but He accompanies the Word of God, you see. And when you're talking to people, man, that's something. And you, You know that. You don't always have that, but it's good when you do. They drew near to hear him. It says in verse number 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Man, what a good sermon that would be. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He came to save sinners. The Bible says that he justifies the ungodly. See, if you're not ungodly, then you can't get saved. You got to know you're a sinner. And that's why he came. He came for the ungodly. He justifies them. He makes them righteous. Friday night, my wife and I, we're teaching this lady, one of the folks in our church here. We're going once a week to her house and teaching her for I usually go for about 6 weeks, teaching him some basic doctrines and things like that. A young lady named Betty, I think this was maybe the fifth or sixth time we're over there, and our subject this last Friday night when we're over there was imputed righteousness, which is akin to justification, you know. And we're trying to get that across to her. Her husband doesn't speak English, and so I talk to her, and then she has to talk to her husband, you know. And so anyway, that was a blessing. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And verse number 3 begins a parable. There are 3 parables in this chapter right here. So here's number 1. He spake unto them this parable. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders and rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy should be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. That's the first story there. It's the story of the lost sheep. The lost sheep. If you wanted the correct interpretation for this scripture, it's about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But it can be applied to any lost sheep, like, you know, anybody that's lost. And so that's the story of the lost sheep. The second one is the parable of the lost coin, verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. In other words, that's a parable there of the lost coin. This woman lost a coin, and she swept the house until she found it. And the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Whenever somebody gets saved, that doesn't make the newspapers. Nobody knows about it, but God knows about it up in heaven. Every once in a while, we know about it here, like that young lady that I told you about Wednesday night, and she came this morning, and she'll come again. And God, they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing up in heaven. So that's the second parable, the parable of the lost coin. The third one is the story or the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. It says in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. In other words, he got hungry. He wanted to eat the husk from the corn that the swine ate. And for a Jewish boy to be feeding hogs and pigs, man, that's one of the lowest places you can get right there. Verse number 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. See, there's that best robe, robe of righteousness. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight, God, and bless these words. I pray the Spirit of God would help us and teach us and touch our hearts, please. God, and we need our hearts touched, and I pray that you'd help us and help me to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, God, for those who've come, and please help us now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, feed us. Feed us from the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. There's three stories here, as I told you. Verse 1 through 7, 8 through 10, and now 11 through 24, the story of the prodigal son. It is one of the great stories of the Bible. In this story, maybe Jesus knew these people, or he might have known someone like them or a family like them. The exact meaning of this story, if you want it, is this, that the son here, the younger son, is a picture of Israel. He represents Israel. But there are good applications to us. I don't know about you, probably be true of you too, but I was like that prodigal son. We have all been probably like that prodigal son. We use the word prodigal here. It's not found in the Bible. But the word prodigal means a waster, a spendthrift, something like that. He wastes things. And as I said, who of us have not been a prodigal at some time? There are some lessons here that we can learn from this story. Verse number 11 and 12, let me read it for you. It says in verse number 11 and 12, a certain man had two sons. What a blessing to have children. If you have children, then you ought to thank God for them. I have two sons myself. My wife and I, we were married 6 years before we ever had any kids. And then after that, we had four of them in 5 years. But it's a blessing. You know, for, I have two sons. My son Jeff was born. He now works in the same building where he's born, right out there at the old hospital. He was born right there. His doctor was Dr. Miller. And then we had Clayton. Back then, I don't know how much it costs to have a baby now, but I bet it's a bunch. Back then, we paid for Clayton. I think it was $250 for the whole thing. $250. Hospital, doctor, and all of that. And we didn't have any insurance. We paid for it ourselves. They say that's the way it used to be. We lived for 40 years with no insurance. You can't do that now. You can't do that now. You need to have insurance. I'm telling you folks, if you don't have insurance, you need to have it. But that's the way it was then. And then my girls came along. See, two boys and two girls, two sons. What a blessing it is to have children. My first point, a thought that I want you to get here, in verse number 11 and 12, let me read verse number 12. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. This young boy, maybe he got to looking around and he got to looking at the world. And he said, I want to leave. I'm tired of taking orders from my dad. And he said, I want to go out. I'm going to try it on my own. You know, he would have inherited things later on if he would have just stayed put. He would have gotten it all. He could have stayed there, and whatever his father done, he could have stayed there and run the business or worked on it, but he didn't want that, see. You know, a lot of times young people, they're pretty impatient. I'm pretty impatient myself, you see. I've done a lot of stupid, foolish things in my life. As a matter of fact, I've done enough. You know, a lot of times you don't get any wisdom till about right before you die. Right before you die, you know, you get some wisdom. And this boy, he may not have had any. He would have gotten that inheritance if he'd have just stayed put. But here's the thing. His father allowed him to do what he wants. You know, the point about that is God will let you do what you want. He's not going to force you to do right. He won't force any of us to do right. If you do right, you have to do it out of a good heart. You have to do it because you want to do right, you see. Or you have to do it, if you do it out of duty, okay, that's fine. But God's not going to make you. God's not going to stand over you with a stick and force you to do the right thing. If people decide to leave and go out and do their own thing, God's not going to force them to. Now, they're going to reap what they sow. They will reap what they sow. But God doesn't force anybody to do right. As I said, that boy could have had it all. He could have had it all later on, but he refused to wait. And he probably saw what the world had to offer, and he decided that he wanted it now. He wanted it all now. Verse number 12 says this. It says, the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The second point I want to give you is this, that the heart attitude makes a difference in your life. You know what his heart attitude was? His attitude was, give me. Give it to me. I haven't earned it, but I want it anyway. That's the way a lot of young people are. You see, there's that attitude in the world today. Give me, but look in verse number 19, and it says in verse number 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. See, his attitude at first was, give me. But then after he had been out in the hog pen and been down pretty low, then his attitude changed. Lord, make me. Now, that's the right attitude. God, make me. You see, I call it like this. The give me attitude is what you call socialism. Socialism. The make me attitude is what you call capitalism. A lot of times in our colleges and universities today, they're being taught socialism. Their minds are being corrupted and taught that socialism is good. Socialism says this, I exist, and so therefore you should give me something, whether I work for it or not. Capitalism says you need to work and earn a living. You must have something to offer other people, to give them, to sell them. And then you can, you know, you can exchange commerce and all that kind of stuff, you see. Socialism and capitalism. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Capitalism says, take it from others and give it to me. Let's make everything fair. See, that was Obama's thing. He will make everything fair. You take it from those who have and put it all in a big pool and give it out. Just the government, they get to do that, see. They get to make it fair because to them, capitalism is not fair. You have to work. You have to earn something, see. And so this boy at first, he had this attitude of, give me, give me. I haven't earned anything, but give it to me. And later on, after he had been out in the pig pen and he got up and he came to his senses, then he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. He's willing to do just about anything. It's what the colleges and universities are teaching. They're teaching all kinds of crazy things. I heard about this, I'm not sure, may not have been a college, university, but some kind of group. They were going to give this woman that's trying to be a man, you know. What is her name? Jenner? Y'all heard of this woman named Jenner? She used to be a man. What was her, I can't remember his name, but her name is Caitlin. Everybody know that? And, huh? Bruce? Yeah, his name. That's his real name. He's a man. He's a man. Men make ugly women. It's ugly. Really. I mean, if you stand way back, and put all kinds of gobs of makeup on them where you can't tell, you know, but you got to stand way back. See, you don't want to get up close, especially this guy. This guy, I don't care. He might have been a nice-looking man, but I'm tell you something. When people decide to start, you better get ready for this. They are making laws now in a lot of places where it's against the law if you don't call them what they want to be called. If you don't call a he a she and a she a he. See, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're making laws. That's how crazy and idiotic this world is getting, you see. They're going to make laws where some guy wants to be a she and you say sir to it, then they're going to report you and whatever they're going to do. I don't care what they want to do. They can do all the stuff that they want to do. It's all a big pretend game. That's all it is. They're pretending. Just like two men getting married. They're pretending they're married. They're not. Two women, they're pretending. That's all. It's just a big game. Like little kids playing house. They play like this and play like that. That's all it is. Brother, you can never make a man a woman. They're not going to change. There's something like chromosomes. You have 46 of them, and there's a couple of them that determine your sex, and they don't change. They ain't going to change. I don't care if they're going to mutilate their body and do all kinds of stuff like that. It ain't going to happen. And I just heard that the suicide rate, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, I'm not trying to, among these folks is very high. Very high. Very high. See, that's how crazy this world is getting. Teaching that in some of these big, expensive universities, they're using your tax dollars to teach all kinds of stuff like this. It's the heart attitudes that makes the difference. He said, give me. But later on, he said, make me. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We may not know it. Maybe I don't teach enough on this, but folks, it ought to be a privilege to be a servant of God. A privilege to be a servant of God, you see. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, Lord, Father, if you'll just take me back, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. And that ought to be the attitude. That ought to be my attitude. God, if you want me to, I don't have to be up here. God, I'll stand in the back if you want me to. God, I'll do whatever you want me to. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God, make me as one of thy hired servants. The third thing is verse number 13 to 14. He says in verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. See, there's the prodigal. In verse number 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. The third thing I would tell you of is that he lost what he had. He wasted it. He lost it through waste. That's what the word prodigal means. He didn't even earn it. He wasted something that was given to him. This is what the devil does. The Bible says in John 10:10, for the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. To have an abundant life. And the Bible also says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking someone, somewhere that he can get his foot in the door, that he may devour their life and their living. The devil will steal your wealth. He'll steal your health. He'll steal your freedom. He'll steal your purity. He'll steal your time, your life, and your family. Most of the men that Brother Diaz and myself see out in the jail, we were there last night. We only got to talk to one man, but they're there, and the devil is stealing from them. He's stolen part of their life, you see, stolen their freedom from them. And we always talk to them and tell them that, you know, you're here, and it'd be good for you if you'd use your time wisely. Give them a Bible. Brother Diaz had taken this young man, I forget, what was his name, brother? You remember? Y'all get that? And Brother Diaz had taken him a Bible out there, and he's reading it, his Spanish Bible. And so the devil, you see, is stealing from these people, and that's what he does. Look in verse 14, 15, and 16. Verse number 14 says this, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man could gave unto him. He doesn't sound like a happy man, does he? Here's the thing. The fourth thing that I would tell you is this. He was not happy. He was not happy in the pig pen. He's not happy doing what he's doing there. That's a picture of a Christian being in the world. A Christian is not happy in the world. You know why? You know why this man wasn't happy? Because he's not a pig. He's not a pig. A child of God is not a pig. A child of God is a sheep. A sheep. That's a child of God. Bible, I'm going to flip over here to Ephesians chapter number 4 and read a couple of verses for you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. The Bible says this, Paul is writing, Ephesians 4, 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now your old man is your old nature, and it's this right here. Your old man is the flesh. You're not supposed to let the flesh rule your life. Skip a verse and look down to verse number 23 and 4. Verse number 23 and 4. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Whenever you got saved, whether you knew it or not, I mean, this is a doctrinal thing, and you may not have known it, but God created a new man on the inside of you. It's a spiritual man. It's a spiritual man, and that spiritual man is holy and righteous, you see. That spiritual man cannot sin. And we are to let that spiritual man and the Spirit of God control our life. This man was not happy down in the pig pen because he's not a pig. He's not made to be there. You see, whenever people, whenever we get out in the world, and I'm familiar with this kind of stuff. I'll give you an illustration here of a man by the name of Lot that you know about. Lot, I'm going to turn over my Bible to back here to 2 Peter. It'd be good for you to mark this verse in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter number 2. And let me see. It's verse number 8, 2 Peter chapter number 2. It says there in 2 Peter chapter 2, it's talking about Lot. Let me back up and read verse number 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. All right? So the Bible says there that Lot lived in, Bible says, talks about Lot. He lived in Sodom, and he is vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed, that is, he's tormented. He's afflicted. His soul is afflicted and tormented because of what he's seeing and hearing. Look at verse number 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Here's a man and Lot, and he is a saved man. Somewhere, like Abraham, he put his faith in God, and he was a saved man. He was justified. The Bible says he had a righteous soul, but he lived among sodomites. That's the Bible term for homosexuals. He lived among them. The Bible says here, day after day, he heard filthy conversation. Day after day, he saw evil things. And when you hear day after day, day after day, and there's nothing to offset it. You hear filthy things, and you see filthy things. For a child of God, it robs him. It robs him of his righteousness. And after a while, if they do nothing about it, then he's not interested in the things of God after a while. Day after day, the Bible says here, in hearing, things go in their ears. All kinds of filthy things go in their ears. Seeing things. He saw all of these kinds of things that go on in the world, you see. His soul, his righteous soul is vexed. And after a while, that steals from people their righteousness. They're no longer interested in the things of God. You know what? That's why you come to church. That's why you come to church. You got to be recharged. You've got to have good things going in your head. Somebody that hears that day after day, they go home and sit down in front of the television, what are they going to get? They're not going to get anything that's going to help them. The Bible is what's going to help them, to build you up, you see. You've got to have something to offset all of that rotten, filthy stuff. We live in an evil, sinful world. It's going to go in your head. It's going to go in your ears. Kids go to school. They go to all other kinds of places. They see things and they hear things, you see. The Bible says it vexes your righteous soul. Here's Lot. He was a good man. He was a just man. He was a saved man. He was justified. But his righteousness was stolen from him because of the things that he saw, the things that went in his ears, and the things that he heard, you see. And he was not happy
in the pig pen. David, let me give you an illustration of Eve first. Eve in the garden, she saw something and she desired it and she took it. That's the pattern. You see it and then you look at it and you desire it. And then after a while you say, I want it, and you take it. David, in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, David stayed home from the battle. He should have went out and leading his army, but he stayed home. He's up on the balcony. He can have everything that he wanted. He's wealthy beyond all measure. He has all power like a king. He can have everything that he wants. He goes out. He's restless. He goes out and he looks out of the balcony and he sees a woman down there, something that he should not have seen. The Bible says he saw it and he desired it. And then what did he do? She's a married woman and he took her, you see. He sent somebody, go get her for me. Pretty soon they've got a baby. The baby died. He suffered the rest of his life for it. What he saw affected him. What you see and what you hear affects you. Pretty soon you don't care about the Bible. It'll rob you and steal from you your righteousness, you see. In seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul. The prodigal son, he was not happy in the pig pen. Look at verse number 17 and 18. And when he came to himself, do you know what? People that are backslidden, they're not in the right frame of mind. When he came to himself, he's out of his mind. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Here's the thing. Whenever people get backslidden, one little point here, they have to want to come back to God. You have to want to turn around and come back to God. And when you do, God will help you. God will take you back. But you cannot force anybody to turn around and come back to God.